Thank you, Pastor. I remember Pastor Esposito had a message, don't trust anybody under 30. And then when I turned 30, he had preached, don't trust anyone over 40. And then I said, Pastor, when I'm 40, are you going to preach, don't trust anybody over 50? He said, most likely, because I'm going to get older. But I thank God for this opportunity. And I don't say this lightly, but probably most everything I've learned is from when I was a teenager, is from our older staff men. I learned from Pastor Esposito. I learned from Pastor. I learned from Pastor Board. I learned from Brother Esposito. I learned from all these men. One thing that probably I am, maybe one of my weaknesses, is I am very observant. I go to pastor school. I'll watch the pastors there. I'll watch whatever. And I watched our staff for a long time. Staff when I was a teenager. Let me say this, staff. Our teenagers look to you just like when I was a teenager, I looked at our staff and I watched them and I watched how they carried themselves and I watched what they did and how they did and how they took care of problems and how to treat people. And I learned so much from these men that God allowed to influence my life. And I can never thank them. Pastor, I can't thank you enough for what I've learned through your teaching, through Pastor Esposito's teaching, through the men of God that God has allowed me to be influenced by. One of the things that I've learned is when I was a teenager, and Pastor used to always say this, Pastor Myers and Pastor Esposito, don't wait until you're married to learn about marriage. Don't wait until you have children to learn about children. Don't wait until you get into that situation to learn about it. I remember my son, I got a phone call from my wife on a work day, and she called and she said, "Hun, I think you need to come home." And I said, "What are you talking about? You need to come?" Yeah, Nathan fell down my son, he fell and there's a lot of blood coming out of his mouth. And I think you need to come home. I said, "What's wrong?" "Well, there's a flap of skin." I looked inside his mouth, and it was hanging there. I said, "Okay, I'll be home in a minute." Got off the phone, called Pastor Esposito. I said, "Pastor, I got to leave. I have an emergency at home." I went took my son to the hospital, took him to the emergency room, and drove him in there. And as soon as we got to the emergency room, they said, "What are you here for?" "Well, my son, his palate is hanging down." I said, "Son, open your mouth. He's crying." Open his mouth. And they said, "Okay, we'll get you in right away. Put him on a bed. Put him in right away." And we were waiting for the eye, ear, throat doctor, a pediatrician for eye, ear, and a throat. And he's wheeling him off for surgery. And I remember wheeling him off. And I said, "Doc, we're going to be good." You know, it's my son. He's probably 3 years old at that time. And he said, yeah, we'll be okay." I said, "Have you ever done this before?" He said, "When I got the call, I went on YouTube and I watched the same video a couple times to make sure I understood what to do." And I looked at him and my whole countenance changed. My mouth dropped open. I said, "Excuse me?" He said, I've done this thousands of times. I'm just kidding." I'm like, "Good night." Almost gave me a heart attack. You know, just like that feeling when doctor told me, "I've never done this before. I'm watching YouTube right before I came here to look at your son's condition and how to sew his palate back up." He said, "That's the only time." Now let me say this. For me, what I'm telling you, this July will be my 20th year of marriage. And I've been married for 20 years. And I thank God for my marriage. And everything I've learned on marriage, child rearing, I've learned it from men. And what I am saying here, and what I'm going to teach today, it's not because I am an expert. I am only parroting or saying what I've learned from men that have gone down that road, that's been married longer than me, that have had successful families. And I pray that as we go and deep, dive through the message here, and I think we're going to be done early, that you get something out of it. Teenagers, take note. The notes are on your YouTube. Go to the description, and you see right there, it'll say, take those notes. Couples, keep these notes. And I hope it helps you today. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, you help us to understand the things that are going to be taught today. Probably not a lot of yelling and screaming or funny illustrations or anything like that, Lord, but it's vital to having a strong church. We pray, Father, that you just bless these next 30 or so minutes we have together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, marriage is an ordained institution that God has created. God has created three institutions. He's created the church. Church is important. He's created the government that we're to be under, and that's to help us to protect our liberties and freedoms and our property. And that's pretty much it. The government's not there to provide for you and give you a paycheck. That's for us to work for and to go out and make our own living, if you will. And then the home, the family. The family is an important, vital institution that God has created. I got saved in 1990 at a Christian camp. That was the number one most important decision that I ever made. And the second most important decision that I've made after salvation is marriage. I remember Pastor Esposito teaching and preaching something called courtship. And I was all into it. And I said, man, I am going to court. Courting is saying I will not get involved in a relationship with the opposite gender. In 2020, we have to say the opposite gender. I won't get involved in a relationship with the opposite gender until I am financially, spiritually, emotionally ready to get married. And I remember after graduation, I went to a college about 90 miles away from here, and some of the other people went up to a college up north, and we drove the same way. And I remember seeing, Pastor, our courtship covenants on the 5 freeway, because as soon as some of our college kids, our students graduated, we're going to go have a golden opportunity. And the courtship papers were on the 5 freeway, and I courted, and I waited. Now, I remember when I was in my senior year in college. My junior year had just got out, Pastor Ricardo, and it was that summer. I was going in my senior year. I knocked on Pastor Esposito's door. He said, come on in. And you got to know something about Pastor Esposito. When you talked about the boy and girl relationship, he was all ears. I mean, man, Joseph, I don't know if you remember, a smile from ear to ear. Tell me about it, brother. Who are you interested in? And I tell our teenagers, like March Madness, I had a category of in brackets and everything. This one got to beat this one out and everything like that. But I thought I was a little bit too conceited and too into myself, I guess. But I remember talking to Pastor; he was all ears. And during that time, I remember that summer, I remember I talked to Pastor Pastor Myers, and I said, Pastor, I remember he came to me, he said, hey, Nate, what do you think about Somalia? I said, I don't know. I don't. You remember this? He said, I think you should. I said, okay, I guess I should. So, I mean, romantic, right? He said, why don't you ask her for a date? I remember after church on Sunday night. And it was on the Pacific Building, Brother Joseph. And I went to her. I said, hey, Somali, I know you're going to say yes, but I need to ask anyway. No, I did. That did not happen. I said, you know, Pastor, I said, Brother Steve and Miss Oma are going to go bowling. And we're going to have dinner. And I wanted to see, maybe you wanted to join us. She said, well, let me think about it. I'll let you know. No, she had said, sure, I'd love to join you. I remember she beat me in bowling. Let me say this. Girls, on your first date with your date, do not beat them in bowling. We went on our second date, we went putt-putt golfing. She beat me at putt-putt golfing. We went to eat dinner after that. She ate more food than I did. No, she did not. But remember during that time our relationship started growing and we started, you know, they didn't have cell phones back at that time. I had something called a calling card. And the calling card was like a little card that had a number and you dial that number up and it was a certain time after school I had to call her. We had a long-distance relationship, and I would call her a couple times a week, and I would see her once a month. Either I would fly up there, drive up there, or she would come down here. I would fly her down here, or she would come down here with somebody. And our relationship started going, and then in July 7, 2001, we got married. It has been a great time. It's been a great time. God is good. God is amazing. God has blessed, and I can't imagine to be married to anybody else. Marriage, sadly, in our country is failing. Over 50% of marriages end up in divorce. That's Christian and non-Christian. Let me say this. Our church is only as strong as the families in our church. And our families are only as strong, parents, as your marriages. How's your marriage? What can you do to improve that institution that God has ordained and that you have dedicated yourself to death do us part? How can we have a successful, God-honoring marriage? What are God's plans for your marriage? Men, women, somebody once said, a marriage is a 50-50. No, marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. Amen. We have to put it all in. Amen. And sometimes in a marriage, we look at our wife and we look at, oh man, you know, if you did this, 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 and this, we would have a good marriage. Or if my husband did this, 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 and that, we would have a good marriage. Let me say this, couples. Let me say this, moms. Let me say this, dad. Let me say this, prospective people that are dating or courting and your teenagers. Marriage is 100%. It's not about the other person. It's about you. Let me just give you God's plan for marriage. Number one here, the purpose of marriage. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, and the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Let me say this, ladies can be alone. It's not good for a man to be alone. I mean, man, I need my wife. The Bible says, I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. In verse 20, and Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the birds and everything like that. In verse 22, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep. Why? Because there was not found a helpmeet for him. And Adam slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed his flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken out of man, God made woman, brought her unto the man. Let me say this. God will bring, guys, will bring you a mate. The Bible says, he that findeth a good thing, findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. The word findeth there means stumble upon. We have so many guys who are looking and searching and searching. Let me say this, young people. You dedicate yourself to serving God and dedicating yourself to do what God wants you to do and prepare yourself to be a husband. All of a sudden, like, ooh, I didn't notice that before. Look at what God gave me. Praise the Lord. And the purpose for marriage, number one, or letter A, is companionship. It's fellowship, companionship. God noticed Adam's incompleteness. God knew the need of his creation. Man was created for a social appetite. That's why some of us are miserable. Some people, when we first went through this stuff, they said, man, I was getting text messages and memes. And they were saying, if I die, it's not because of the virus. It's because I'm quarantined with my wife. And that was funny. But let me say this. I tell my wife this all the time. If I had one person that I would be on a deserted island with, it would be Bear Grylls. No, it wasn't. It would be you. I said, it would be you. You say, why? I mean, man, we're going to just make this happen. My fellowship. And with my wife. I love being around my wife. marriages, for companionship. The Bible says, whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The purpose of marriage is for companionship. The purpose for marriage is completion. God created Eve as a completer to Adam. You know what? Some of us, our wives know us so much, they end our sentences for us. My wife, you know, she asks us questions. I don't know if that's proper English. It didn't sound right. She would ask a question, and then I would answer it. And I'm even done, she knows what I'm going to say, and she finished. I said, if you already know the answer, why are you going to ask me? But Eve was Adam's completer. Eve was Adam's counterpart. Eve was Adam's companion. Is your wife somebody you love? I hope so. But let me ask this. Is your wife somebody you like? I love my wife, but I love to be around my wife. We have different trips with our teenagers. And my wife works a regular job, and I say, hey, you need to take this time off because we're going to have this activity. You need to come. So, can't you do the activity by yourself? Yeah, I can. But I want her to be there. Because I want to, you know, we go to on a senior trip. My wife, I'm a fuddy-duddy. I'm the, you know, no fun zone guy. I like to have fun. You know, people playing card games or a Monopoly or something. I'm like, oh, okay, let me go read news. That's me, okay? But my, come play with us. All right, I'll play. And, you know, she's the entertainer, if you will. My wife, I love being around her. The Bible caused a deep sleep to come to over Adam, a trance-like sometime asleep. It reminds me of two accounts of creation. Woman, God created a man, looked at him and said, I can do better, and made woman. Here's a man. God made the world, the beast, man, and then rested. And God made woman, and neither the world, beast, nor man has ever rested since. We see the purpose for marriage. Number two, we see the proclamation of marriage. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from the man. Here we see a proclamation of acceptance. Acceptance is what begins a relationship. By the way, let me say this. The foundation of your relationship, dating couples, the foundation, married people, the foundation of your relationship is God, yes. But after that, it needs to be an acceptance of each other. Lack of acceptance ends a relationship. Some of us, we marry our wife not because of the inner, but some people, and this is the wrong reason, because of the shallow outside. Pastor asked me, what are you looking for? Somebody that's beautiful or somebody that's spiritual? I said, both. My mom didn't raise a fool. The Bible says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Eve, in contrast to the animal kingdom, caught the attention of Adam. It's like, whoa. Somebody said, God named woman, because when God made a woman, Adam said, whoa, man. I guess that wasn't that funny in this auditorium, but inside, oh, out there, it might have been funny to you. We see a proclamation of honor. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 70, if you have your notes, you see it there. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. The word them there refers back to the wives, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of grace of life. That your prayers be not hindered. A couple things on this verse here. Number one, it says dwell together. Dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge. You got to know your wife, husbands. Really know her needs as well as her likes and her dislikes and her preferences. It's sad sometimes. We've been married for a long time, and on the dating stage, we're here. We want to know about our girlfriend or our boyfriend or our fiance. And then when we're married, like, you know what? Got her. That's it. You've got to know them. The Bible says dwell with them according to knowledge. And the Bible says unto the weaker vessel. Remember, she has social needs, and she's sensitive. My wife is more sensitive than I am, okay? Your wife most likely is more sensitive than you are. It's just how it is. You know, Some girls are more sensitive than other girls, but girls are sensitive. I can say something to a guy, and they're like, okay, whatever. And you say the same thing, and you don't, you get that look, and all of a sudden, everything good? I'm fine. Not my wife, but other people. But dwell according to the knowledge unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs, here it is, together of the grace of God. Treat your wife as an equal, as heir together. Matthew Henry said this, women are created from the rib of man to be beside him, not from his head to be on top of him, nor from his feet to be trampled upon him, but under his arm to protect him, to be protected by him, near his heart to be loved by him. It's sad sometimes when guys think they're macho, you know, this is a... No. We get the wrong idea of what masculinity is. Masculinity is not putting down your wife or thinking you're better. Masculinity is saying, I love you to your wife, and I'm going to take care of you. The Bible says, as being heirs together of the grace of God. And the Bible says here also that your prayers be not hindered. If a husband is not being sensitive or not right with his wife, he's limiting access to God in prayer. Sometimes if we're not right with the Lord and right with right with our wife and our wife and your wife and yourself, you're headbutting each other, your prayers are going to be hindered. Let me just give you a couple ways here you can honor your wife. This is Mother's Day. A couple ways to honor your wife. Number one here, real fast, speak to her kindly. She's not one of the buddies. One of the ways you demean others is by the way you speak to them, whether it's your actual choice of words or your tone of words. By the way, your tone matters a lot. Nick, I love Allison. Your wife sent me a picture of Allison this morning, and Brother Bichard, I love your granddaughter. Selah, I haven't gotten one of her yet, but they used to send pictures. I guess she doesn't love me anymore. But I got that picture. And you could, I remember when my kids were younger, I could say, oh, I hate you. I hate you. And they'll smile. Or I could say, I love you like this. I love you. I love you. It's not what you said. It's the tone of the voice that you said it in. It makes a big difference. That tone is important. The way you phrase it is important. You could tell your wife, hun, I love you. Or you could say, hun, I love you. It's you're saying the same thing, but your tone of voice is different. Speak kindly to her. Number two, do not discuss her weaknesses with others. Remember, you're one flesh in Ephesians chapter 5. When you talk badly about your wife, it's as well as saying the same things about yourself. You're one flesh. Don't air your laundry to other people with your wife. Oh, she's just my old lady. You shouldn't call your wife an old lady. Oh, my hag. I won't even say what the world calls their wife or their girlfriend. Number three, show interest in her projects. Sometimes it's hard, men. My projects and my wife's projects are a lot different. Okay? You said, well, it was my birthday. She said, what do you want? I want a power washer. I said, why? So I clean up the backyard, wash the car, and spray down stuff. Need a power washer. She got me a power washer. It's different. If you gave my wife a power washer, like, what is this? Do I spray people with it? No, you're going to kill people with it. Don't spray it too hard. But our likes and dislikes are different. But show interest in her. I mean, she would tell me that. I'm like, yes, yes. And I'm like, I didn't know what that was in my mind. Sorry, honey, if you're watching. And my wife, she tries to show interest in my interests. I mean, game 7 of the playoffs. She's sitting there. Now, what's the travel? And we're watching the, you know, it's a close game and with the Sacramento Kings. And well, what's going on? I'm sorry, you have to, you know, like a losing team. And it's like, you know, she's asking. Now, and she's trying to be interested. I'm like, this is not the time to ask me right now. Just watch and be quiet. Her interests are not the same as your interests. But show interest in her interests. Number four, speak highly of her to your children. Sometimes we play this game, parents. Well, I'm going to say these bad things in front of my kids so my kids will favor me, or I'll look better. You're shooting yourself in the foot. You're handicapping your own team. You're slapping yourself in the face. Speak highly of her to your children. Teach your children to respect their mom. Thank and compliment mom in front of them. Show physical affection to her in your children's presence. You know what, men? Hug your wife in front of your children. Give her a kiss in front of your children. You say, oh, that's just... You remember when you were dating, you wanted to do those things? Didn't matter who saw you? Now you're married. It's okay to do it. Do it. Your children, when you do those things, it brings security to your children. Your children love, they'll love to see their mom and dad hugging and kissing and holding hands. Number five, learn her likes and dislikes. Whatever it might be, boba, frappuccino, double blended, whatever it is. It's so hard to order a Starbucks, right? Whatever it might be, the places she likes to go, how she likes to celebrate anniversary, how she likes to do vacation. Know her likes and dislikes. Honor her by caring enough to learn and to remember. Remember her special day. Husbands, let me say this. I hope all of you did something special for mom. I hope all of you did something special for your wife. Learn her likes and dislikes. Number six, learn her joys and sorrows. What makes your wife happy? What pushes her buttons? Don't push them. I can give you one way that your wife will probably, what she would enjoy, some good family time. Spend time together. Number seven, do not demean her health situation. If your wife has some kind of illness or some type of physical problem, don't always rag on her. Oh, you know, you need to lose a little couple of LBs. You say, what's LB, Long Beach? No, pounds. Okay. Oh, but look at you getting saggy here. You know what? Dude, you did that to her. You gave her children. I'm in all seriousness, don't demean her health situation. Instead of demeaning her, why don't you help? Guys, go exercise with them. Do things with each other. Make it a family thing. A woman's health needs to be it's a real issue to her. Don't demean something that she has no control over. You should be the strongest ally to help her. Number eight, I'm almost out of time. Remember her special days. Don't forget her birthday. Let me say this. Valentine always comes on February 14th. Oh, man, it shouldn't sneak up on you and kick you in the rear end. You should be planning those things. No, let me say this. You ought to know your anniversary. You ought to know her birthday. Oh, man, Siri, when's my wife's birthday? And that's good if you need that reminder, but it ought to be embedded in you. Remember her special days. You know, what did you do before you got married? What special things did you do? Think of the birthday gifts you got for her. Think of the special things you got for her. Now that you're married, you're like, I provide for you. Well, that's good. I let you live in this nice home. That's great. That's great. But during her birthday, remember, do something. If you have the money, splurge. It'll help your marriage. Number next, tell her what she means to you. John R. Rice went to his wife John R. Rice's wife went to him and said, "Why do you love me, John R.?" He said, "Because the Bible told me to." And that's good. But you know what we ought to do? Sit down, men, ladies, you could do the same thing with your husband, and write, sit down and think about it. How is my wife a blessing to me? What does she mean to me? Let me say this, if you don't have a lot of things to write, you're not thinking hard, and you're very selfish. Sit down and think what she means to you. Sit down what she's done for your family. Sit down and think what she's done for your children. Sit down and think all the laundry she's done. I mean, that Mother's Day video this morning was classic. All the things that moms and wives go through without saying thank you. You know, we come home And I've done this, Pastor Chardo. Everything's clean, and then we see some shoes left out. What in the world? What's up with these shoes? Like, can't see that everything else is clean. You think about one pair of shoes left out. But tell her what she means to you. Tell her specific things she does that encourages you. Number 11. Do not treat her as a servant. Sometimes we think our wives are like our slaves. She's not our slave. She's our wife. Don't view your wife. And by the way, let me say this. Your wife is not an object. Some marriages, and I hate to say this, and if it was like a married couples retreat or my Sunday school class, I'll say it different. But your wife is not an object to be used, but a person that to be loved. You don't just, I'm not going to say, you probably got your children and stuff watching, but don't treat her as a servant. It's sad when you come in, don't ever say this, guys. Woman, where's the food? Now, I mean, sometimes you're kidding or whatever, but some families, that's how they treat their wives. Make sure you treat her right. And by the way, let me say this, guys. She will never treat you like a king if you don't treat her like a queen. Do not compare her, to other women. That's a no-no. Pointing out how another woman dresses or whether that woman, the way she does her hair or what she does for her husband is the fastest way to demotivate and wound your wife. Praise her for what she's doing. She's your wife. She's not somebody else's wife. Be loyal to her. Don't compare her. She's yours. You say she just doesn't, she needs a teach her. That's why we have ladies' conference. Men, that's why we have couples retreat. That's why we have sermon and teaching. It's just so expensive to go to those things. You know what? It's hard sometimes, and I say this, sometimes we spend more time with our pets than we do with our own marriage and children. We spend money and we give our dogs, and I love my dog, but my dog's my dog. And we watch so many things on how to train our dog and how to do this and how to do that, how to fix a car and how to do this. And we spend no time to enrich our marriage. Make sure, she has immediate access to you. When my wife calls me, if I'm not in a meeting with pastor or somebody, I'll pick it up and say, "Hun, can I call you right back?" Or I'll just say, "I can't answer right now." And as soon as I'm done, I'll call her back. Or I'll text her. Make sure she has immediate access to you. Your wife ought to be able to pop in at work at any moment without any concern, men, of you flirting or sitting there talking to another woman. You should have safeguards built to give your wife security. My wife, anytime, go on my phone. Anytime, go on my computer. We track each other. Okay, we track each other. You say, "Man, that's just invasion of privacy." I have no privacy with my wife. Me and her are one. She wants to know where I am. Look, this morning I went to get her a coconut pineapple cake for Mother's Day for our meal. I didn't know she just wanted a slice. I bought her the whole cake. Ordered it. Waited in line for it. I ordered it last week. Waited in line for it. She was like, "I was wondering why you were on the Atlantic." I was at Bacon Broil. "I was wondering why you were on the Atlantic for a long time." I said, "Oh, okay. Bacon Broil right there. You told the kids you wanted that, so I want to make it happen." But make sure she has access. Be accountable with your schedule. If you're, it will eliminate all the doubt in the world when you're accountable with your schedule. If you're going to come home at a certain time, come home. If you're not going to make it, there's something, call a phone that you can call and say, "Hey, I'll be late." When you're stuck in traffic, don't use your phone. It's illegal. Just say, "Siri, call my wife, FaceTime her." And she'll FaceTime. Don't cause worry by not being accountable. If you honor and respect somebody, you'll let them know exactly what's going on. I was with Pastor Gray, and Pastor Gray, I said, Tell me some things that have helped you out. You know, you travel a lot. He said, you know, one of the things I do, and he gave me a tip, and I think he said it. I don't know if he said it publicly. I'm pretty sure he did. He said, if he feels like somebody is trying to flirt with him, if you will, a lady, he'll take out his phone. He says, excuse me, call his wife and just talk to his wife. Honey, I love you, or FaceTime her, so they'll get the hint. Be accountable. Make sure you have safeguards. Let me say, have safeguards for your marriage, for your children, and for your family. Lastly, the priorities of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, the Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. What's the priorities of marriage? Number one is leaving. Leaving doesn't mean forsaking your family. It means that your whole loyalty is to each other. Let me say this. I love my mom. I love my mom. But my mom, when we got married, and my father-in-law, I remember my father-in-law spoke to me. My mom said the same thing. It's not together at a different time. I remember my father-in-law, he said, Nathan, you and your wife are married. He said, I will not get in your business. This is very uncommon, Nick, for an Asian family. I don't know how Filipinos do it, but I know Cambodians, they want to be in your business. And my father-in-law said, Nate, whatever you need, you can ask me. I'm here to help you. But that's your wife and that's your family. You do whatever you got to do. And I respected that. Parents, let me say this. When your kids get married, let the husband lead their family. Now you're there to help them. You're there to help, and hopefully your relationship with them is so strong that they want your help. But don't get in their business. The Bible says men is to leave. Ladies, leave. Your husband is the boss, wives, not your mom. And the Bible doesn't say just leave. The Bible says cleave. The priority of marriage is to leave. Your loyalty should be to your spouse and then to cleave to him. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, the Bible says, for this cause shall man leave his mother and his father and cleave to his wife, and the twain, the two of them, should be one flesh. Your priority should be God, your spouse. And let me say this, ladies, your kids are not in front of your husband. Your husband is priority number one. I love my kids. I love my kids. But my wife's relationship is before my children. You know, when you come home, men, if the kids come, you ought to put them aside a little bit and say, Mama's first. Mama's first. Ladies, when you come home from a long time away, the kids come, Daddy's first. That's your first priority, is leaving, cleaving, and then lastly, weaving together. Spiritually, weaving, emotionally weaving. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14, houses and riches are inheritance of the fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Weaving spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Let me say this, married people. All of those three are just as important, and we'll leave it at that. How's your relationship? How's your relationship? Men, know your wife. Protect your wife. My wife is a worker. She is a worker. She'll work herself to death. Sometimes I have to say, hang on. Let's make sure you don't burn yourself out here. Hang on. By the way, I'd rather have that type of wife than sitting around. And I thank God my wife's not like that. But know how much your wife can handle. My wife would ask me stuff. I said, you know what? I don't think it's a good time right now. Just hang in there. But I think I could help. I know you can. But you got a lot on your plate. And Pastor, she would come back and she said, you know what? I didn't think about all this stuff. I think I would have been overwhelmed. I said, I know you would have. protect your wife. The best relationship, the most important relationship, dad, husband, that you have is with God. And after that, it's with your spouse. And I pray that we do our best to understand our priority and our purpose and our plan and God's plan for marriage. Let's pray.